Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Is there ever a time when a lesson on the tongue is untimely? Well, some may think so. I'm reminded of a time when some were critical of me for preaching on the subject of the sinfulness of modern dancing one Sunday morning. They said they agreed with the truth that I presented, but they thought it was untimely because the high school prom was to be the very next week. Some may think a sermon on the tongue is untimely because that's what is really the most needful. There are so many scriptures relating to this matter that we're going to have the opportunity to occupy much of this lesson with those quotations. We begin with James chapter 3, 2 through 9. It gives us some characteristics of the tongue. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, he is the same as a perfect man, and he is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Yes, friend, the tongue is a little member of the body, but it is ever so loud and ever so powerful. It is compared to a horse's bit, a ship's rudder, little in comparison to the whole body, but able to control the entire body or the entire ship. It is also characterized as a fire. Now, fire can be helpful, or it can be harmful, depending upon the way it's used. It cannot ever be completely tamed, but must always be kept under control and under guard. The tongue is as a serpent. It's full of deadly poison. It is a powerful force, and we must deal with it, and we must learn how to properly handle it. And that's the part that the Christian must learn, and he does learn it different from the people of the world. Let us consider some of the fruit that's borne by the tongue. Let us see some of the things that are harmful, but also some of the things that are beneficial. Consider some harmful works first. Again, we turn to Scripture, this time to the book of Proverbs. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And again, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. From the book of Romans, their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know, that reminds me of so many people we hear today, from the politicians, from the movie actors, from the celebrities, from the famous athletes, from on and on. Profanity, vulgarity. They couldn't hardly give you your telephone number without spewing forth some filth out of their mouth. What's wrong with those people? Well, they've just never learned to grow up. They've never matured. They've always lived in the gutter from which they won't crawl out. Discord and destruction, that's what come from the misuse of the tongue. Friendships are destroyed. Strife, cursing, deception. All of these things are harmful fruits of a misused tongue. Paul wrote to Titus, For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, Titus 1:10-11. James said the tongue can defile the whole body. Oh, I suppose the list could be extended almost without limit to the harmful effects that can be used by the tongue, that are promoted by the tongue, perpetuated by the tongue, when it is not controlled and when it is used, and when there's a mind behind that tongue that is depraved and alienated from God. But, friend, the blessings of ability to speak and communicate, it need not always be harmful. Great good can come from the use of the tongue. Again, let's let the Bible speak to us. The psalmist said, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." In Proverbs, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." Again in Proverbs, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones." Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And to the Colossians he said, "Let your speech be always with grace, season with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." He wrote to the people who were Christians in Rome, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Now notice, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Yes, the fruit of a good tongue. The Bible says it promotes wisdom, promotes knowledge and justice. It turns away wrath. It brings pleasantness. It edifies. It gives answer for one's faith. It gets used to confess Christ. All of these very beneficial results come from the same tongue that can produce the evil things that we've already noticed. But friend, the tongue can be so hypocritical. This is especially a danger that can confront the Christian. Evil people can be expected to abuse and misuse the tongue. And always see, as I have mentioned, so many examples of that, do we not? But Christian people must guard against that. They do not always succeed. Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Well, cannot we see the inconsistency of have both good and evil coming out of the same mouth? James wrote, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh." James 3:9-12. Can you think of anything more two-faced than the singing of praises to God with the tongue, and soon using that same tongue to curse people? How can we use the same tongue to pray that's used for vulgarity and lying? Well, I think we can get the lesson of the hypocrisy that can exist with the tongue. We have a responsibility regarding the use of the tongue, my friend. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew chapter 12. Well, the eternal consequences of the use of the tongue is heard in Proverbs chapter 13. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but the soul of the transgressor shall have destruction. Well, how shall we speak? What saith the Scripture? Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He said, let your speech always be seasoned with salt and with grace, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. James said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James chapter 1. Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. James again said, speak not evil one to another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother. Speak evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Peter said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envyings and all evil speakings, he said again, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. The psalmist admonished, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from evil guile. James again wrote, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but seeveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Well, do we want our speech to be acceptable before God? Well, surely we do. We all do if we care about the soul. Now, we cannot be perfect, and we won't be perfect, but we can learn to guard the tongue. And it's not an easy task, and it's a task that goes throughout life. James says, for in many things we all stumble. But, friend, even though that be true, we can learn to speak as God would have us to speak if we'll get our hearts right and make that our goal in life. It is out of the heart that the mouth speaketh. The reason you hear people use profanity, take God's name in vain, vulgarity, and they fly off the handle, why, it's because their heart is impure. They have not partaken of the glories that God has provided in His Word. They have not surrendered their will to His will. They are going according to the evil, sinful, satanic, dominated world in which we live. Why do people think that it is so much a prominent thing to be able to shoot forth profanity and vulgarity? Any fool can do that. It takes a person of some character, of some wisdom, of some righteousness to control his tongue. And when we fill our minds with purity and have the spirit of forgiveness and goodness and righteousness and genuinely love those round about, then we'll be better equipped to speak correctly, because we will speak as we think, and when we think those things that are right, that's the kind of speech that we shall have. Friend, there's never a time when this kind of teaching is not timely. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.